In Jesus' mighty name, shout amen with me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. I don't know how far I'm going to get, but I will get as far as I get. And amen. So just be open to receive. Sometimes life can become frustrating or unfulfilled simply because we ourselves do not have our priorities in order or in the proper order. There's a proper order in which every believer is to conduct their lives according to the scripture, according to the word of God. And so we need to be diligent. We need to be diligent about making sure that our priorities are in order. Some things that you think are important to you are not that important. Some things that you think are least important are very important. Some things that make us look good does not necessarily make God look good. Hallelujah. I've asked every member of this church, been asking them for years and reminding them for years. This is a request that I have as pastor of this church. And you know what they are. That you do three things. The first one is always make God look good. Some people may be thinking that hadn't heard that before. What do you mean make God look good? He is good. He sure is. But some people's perception of God is not good simply because see, they don't know him. So the only perception they have of God is what they see in you and me. You still here? That's the reason Jesus told us that we're the salt of the earth and we're the light of the world. Isn't it amazing? Think about this for a moment. Isn't it amazing that Almighty God, the God that created everything that is, the everlasting God, the all-powerful God, isn't it amazing that God chose to use you and me to present him to a lost world? Think about it for a moment. We didn't ask for that responsibility. God laid it on us. So my request is that we make God look good to the lost world, to the new believers. In other words, we ought to be a witness. We ought to be an example of what a Christian ought to be, what a child of God ought to be. You've heard me make this statement. Listen to me real good. Some folks, not everybody, but for some folks, the only God that they're going to see, especially in the beginning, is in us. In us. Amen. So my request is that we make God look good with our lifestyle, with our actions, and so forth. Amen. Number two, you make your church look good. You make your church look good. Oh, let me back up to number one again. I skipped something I need to say. When we make God look good, there'll be many people that will want our God because they need our God. These people are broken people. They are hopeless people. So when we make God look good, many of them will want our God. They want to get to know our God. Amen. So, if we want to make our God look good, we gotta do those things that make him look good. That applies to how we act and how we react. In any given situation. Sometimes we need, before you speak, before you act, sometimes you need to take a breath. If you were used to cussing before you got saved, the devil can remind you here's an opportunity to do it again. Because I wouldn't take that if I was you. But you got to stop a moment, take a breath, ask yourself this question. Is what I'm about to do, does it make God look good? Does it glorify God? Amen. Now, back to number two. You make your church look good. When you make your church look good, guess what? People will want to go come to your church. If you make your church look good, they'll want to come too. Number three, you make your pastor look good. Well, preacher, you just don't know my pastor. He ain't this and he ain't that, and he's doing this and he's doing that and he's doing all the other. Well, if he's sinning and slipping and dipping, and you need to find you another pastor that's not. But if you got a good pastor, you need to make him look good. So that others will want to come and hear the living word of God, the uncompromised word of God. Can I get another amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You don't come to church and then go home and have lunch and all you talk about is how bad your pastor is. And sometimes people wonder why they're not getting their prayers answered. One thing I've learned to do is keep my mouth off of God's men and women.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Are you still here?
Amen.
All right, let's go into this message. Priorities in life as a Christian, and every Christian should have priorities in their life. Amen?
Amen.
Turn in your Bibles to the fifth chapter of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, it says, therefore, be imitators, or if you are reading from the King James Bible, I'm reading from the New King James, but if you're reading from the original King James, it says followers. Therefore, be ye imitators of God as dear children. Be imitators or be followers of God as dear children. Hallelujah. And it goes on to say, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Follow God. Imitate God. The first priority every one of us should have in our Christian life is God first. Everybody say God first.
God first.
Say it again.
God first.
And when I say God first, I do mean God first above everything and everyone. God first. Amen. Follow him. And let me tell you something. This is a major key to success when you make a decision, I'm going to put God first in my life. Everything I do, the decisions I make, I'm going to run it by God. In other words, we're talking about praying about things. Amen. I'm going to run it by God. I want to make sure everything I do, the decisions I make, I want to make sure that they please God. I want to make sure they please him. You know what? As the pastor of this church, I want to make sure that I am pleasing God. And if I'm not pleasing him in any way, I want that to be revealed to me. I want to know if I'm displeasing him or not doing something he's telling me to do, I want to know about it because I want to please him with my life. Anybody else? That's the reason I'm here. That's the reason you are here, to please God, to bring glory and honor to God. And when we make that decision, that is one of the major keys to success in life. I want God first. Now, let me say this, because I know how people think. Well, preacher, I don't even serve God. You might say I don't serve God. Or I don't believe in God. I'm doing things my way, and I'm pretty successful. Thank you. I got all the money I need. I drive all the fine cars. I live in a nice home. I'm doing quite well. Thank you very much, and I just want you to know I did it myself. I didn't ask God for one second of help. Well, there's more than one way to prosper, isn't it? Turn to Psalm 37, 37th Psalm. I'll just begin reading it, first verse. It says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. And that can easily happen. Sometimes it seems like those that's doing it wrong are the ones that's seemingly being blessed. But the word of God tells us, don't you be fooled by that. Don't you be fooled by that. Verse 2 says, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. And then it tells us what to do. Trust in the Lord and what?
Do good.
Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on what?
Good.
His faithfulness. While everybody else, while the evildoers and the sinners are doing things their way, we are told to trust in the Lord and do good. Don't do things the way they are doing it. And it goes on to tell us verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, hear me real good. You know, the sinner, he or she's prospering in their way, you know, seem like everything's going good with them. And then you look around and seem like nothing is happening for you, and you're discouraged. And you're wondering why God is not coming through for you. Well, we're told to delight ourselves also in the Lord. In other words, we're going to put God first, right? We're going to put God first. And then it says, he shall give you the desires of your heart. They may not have manifested at the time, but you know they are coming. You know they are coming. My answers are going to be manifested because I am delighting myself in the Lord. He knows what I need. He knows about the changes that need to take place. He knows about them. And I am delighting myself in him. I am trusting in him. And my change is coming. My change is coming. And I refuse to believe otherwise. My change is coming. Because I'm putting God first. Putting God first. The things of God come first in my life. And then it goes on to say, verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Brothers and sisters, that's a promise, isn't it? I said, that's a promise. Amen. He, listen at this. I love this. Verse 6. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah. You need to tell somebody, look at somebody and tell them, say, that's talking about me right there. That's talking about me. That's me right there. Glory to God. I'm not going to get bent out of shape because someone's doing it the wrong way and seemingly prospering, because their prosperity is short-lived. Their prosperity is short-lived. Verse 7, rest. Oh, don't we need to rest? Rest in the Lord and do what? Wait patiently for him. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret. Do not fret. Finish reading that verse. Do not fret because of him who prospers. He's prospering. She's prospering, but they're prospering in their way. They're prospering in their way. See, that's what confuses believers sometimes. I just don't understand. I just don't understand. I give God my tithe. I give God offerings. I help others. I do what's right, and it just seems like nothing is changing for me. And then I look at my neighbor, and they are partying big time and you know, doing things and they shouldn't be doing, and they have all they want more than they need. But we're told to rest in the Lord. Amen. And wait patiently for him. Right. And do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. And let me read verse 8 while I'm at it. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. And then it goes on to talk about the fact that evildoers will soon be cut off. So we need to understand that yes, there's more than one way to prosper. There's one way, more than one way to be successful for a while. But the best way is God's way. When we put God first, when we put God first in our lives, glory to God, that's real prosperity. Are you still here? Glory to God. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14. Hallelujah. We got to always put God first. Got to always put him first. Now, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in the way of death. There's a way that seems right to a man, but it ends in death. That's the reason we should always put God first, even in business decisions. Put God first. If someone have a proposal, or if they want you to get involved in business with them, you better pray about it. You better pray about it, because some things seem right in the natural, but there are hidden things that God knows about that we don't know about.
Amen. That's good.
You listening to me? That's the reason I'm so glad that I have the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Now, you can have the Holy Spirit and still not listen to him. It happens every day. But I'm so glad that I have the Holy Spirit available to me. And you have the Holy Spirit available to you. Make sure that you run everything by God before you dive in. Because it can seem right, but it can lead to death. You can lose everything you got. You can work for 30 years to build something, and one bad decision can tear it down from top to bottom, can destroy it. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the reason we do what? Always put God first in everything. Hallelujah. Watch out for distractions. Watch out for distractions. Things that will pull you away from God. Other things that's pulling at your time, crying out for your attention. That's where we live today, especially today. There's always something to do. How many of you, let me see a show of hands. How many of you could be doing something else today rather than being in church? Raise your hand. You could. Now, some of you didn't raise your hand. I don't believe that. Every one of us in here, including yours truly, could be doing something else right now if it's not anything else but sleeping. You follow me? We could be doing something else. Thank God you made a decision to come to church. Hallelujah. You made a decision to come to church. Glory to God. But you got up this morning, maybe. Maybe you retired and your body was yelling at you. I need 30 minutes more sleep. You got to watch that, folks. Your body will deceive you. Your body, you'll wake up and your body will say, just give me 30 more minutes. Come on. Come on, you can do, you know you can do that. Come on, give me 30 more minutes. 30 more minutes, I'll wake up and we all be fine. It's 7:30, you say, just sleep to 8. We'll be good. We'll be good. That's all I need. So you say, okay, body. And you go back to sleep and you wake up and it's 11:30. Your body just deceived you. No, that's the reason we're told to control our flesh. Hallelujah. My body didn't want to get up this morning either, but it got up. Amen. I have three helpers: the Holy Spirit, the alarm clock, and my wife. And she speaks the loudest of all. Thank God for my helpers. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. But we got to make sure that we don't get distracted. Don't allow anything to distract you. Don't allow anything to occupy your time, your mind, when it needs to be on the things of God, or when we should be doing the things of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody say God first.
God first.
Seek after God. It's a heart matter. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. I'm trying to speed this up a little bit. I don't think I'm going to finish. Put it on the screen for me, please. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It said, "You will seek me." This is what God is saying. "You will seek me and find me when you search for me." How? How? With all your heart. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, hear me good. We serve God from our heart. I serve God from my heart. I believe you do too. That means that when I'm by myself, I'm still serving God. When there's nobody around but me, I'm still serving God. My heart and my mind is still to please God with my life. And Jesus said, or the Word of God said, "You shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." This is a heart thing. This is a heart thing. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, let me move on real quick here. So number one, we always put God first. Number two is if you're married, it should be your spouse. It should be your spouse. That's number two. Turn to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. I'm trying to speed this up. Ephesians 5th chapter. I know this is a familiar, these are familiar verses, but I want to read them anyway. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, beginning at verse 25. It says, husbands, love your wives. Amen. Amen. Wow. I think I need to stop right here and we have an altar service. I read, husband, love your wives, and I only heard one male voice. Everybody else was female.
Amen.
Amen. You might have been late, but you got in, didn't you, Jim?
Yes,
Amen. Listen, listen. This is the word of God. Husband, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, Amen. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives. By the way, you notice that word, own there. All married men, raise your hand. Oh man, don't be shy. You married, raise your hand. Now listen, listen, ladies, listen, ladies, shh, shh. I want y'all to be quiet. All single men, be quiet. All everybody, I only want to hear from the married men. Amen. Now don't make yourself look bad. You better say it loud. But I want you to read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28. It's up here on the screen. You read it nice and loud. 1, 2, 3. Ho, 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 ho. All right, let's do this again. On three. 1, 2, 3. Amen. Now, husbands, love your own wife. Your own wife. Well, I know what you're saying, Pastor, but the Bible says we're supposed to love everybody. Yeah, I knew you were coming at me with that. Yes, we are supposed to love everybody. Well, that's a different kind of love, brother. Amen. You are commanded by God to love your own wife. Not your brother's wife, not your neighbor's wife, your own wife. All righty. Amen. Y'all want me to get off that subject?
Keep going.
Keep going. Thank you, brother. All right. All right. All right. Let me see where I was. Okay. Verse 29. For no one ever hated his own flesh. Talking about your wife. But nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. Now, this ain't a marriage seminar, but I'm just telling you right now, the word of God said, treat them good.
Amen.
Be good to them. Love them. Give them what they need. I know what some husband's thinking. That's the reason they ain't got no money today. Verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his what? Own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she what? Respects her husband. Now, see, you guys thinking, oh, Pastor, you're picking on us, but you don't know what it's like to live with this woman. You, well, now, just hang on. See, the Bible talks to her too, and she is supposed to respect you and honor you. I don't care what they say in the world. Let's stay with what the Bible says. The Bible tells the wife to respect her husband and to honor her husband.
Amen.
And don't treat him like he's dumb and stupid. You hear this saying, I'm sure you've heard it at some point in time. Women say, well, you know, all men are stupid. No, they're not. No, they're not. Matter of fact, if you love him and respect him, he'll become smarter than he already is. Amen. When a person loves you and respects you, it makes you want to do better. You hear me? It makes you want to do better. Man, this woman loves me and she respects me. Man, I got to be better for her. Now, y'all looking at me, what does that mean? Hey, let me say amen. Sister says it's tight, but it's right. Glory to God. Amen. Now, turn in your Bibles to First Peter, chapter 3. First Peter, chapter 3. Verse 7, it says, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding. This talking about their wives. Dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. Now, when the Bible say weaker vessel, this is not talking about brains, okay, intelligence. I know on this earth, men are trying to be women and women trying to be men. But the fact of the matter is God created women a certain way and he created men a certain way. And let me tell you something. God's way is beautiful indeed. You hear me? I said, do you hear me? Amen. And yes, normally women are the weaker vessel physically. Amen. Normally, they are weaker vessels physically. Men and women are designed different. Females have babies, not men. And so their bodies are designed by God for that purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. You hear with me? So, ladies, when you read verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 3, don't get offended. That's not a put down. That's telling us men we need to step up to the plate. Honey, I got 50 pounds of grocery out there in the trunk. It's too heavy for me. Go and get it. You'll be all right. No, that's not the attitude we ought to take, is it? We're to say, hey, I got it. Amen. Unless you got a wife like mine, she's lightning. She is super fast, y'all. Amen. I thank God for her. But look, there's some things that's just absolutely too heavy for most women. And it's a blessing to have a husband. To be able to say, I carry this for you. Because he understands that physically she's a weaker vessel. Has nothing to do with brain. Physically she's the weaker vessel. And so we are to honor them and respect them and love them and protect them. I said, and protect them. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to read this from the New Living Translation. It says, this is verse 7 again. In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding. As you live together, she may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. Amen. I don't think I finished reading it in the New King James Version, so I'll read it here again too, verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. I want to tell you something. I don't want my prayers hindered. I don't want my prayers hindered because I'm not treating my wife right. I don't want my prayers hindered because I'm disrespecting my wife. Amen. 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 God first, and then your spouse if you're married. Amen. Thirdly, your children. Your children. Well, I don't care what you say, preacher. My children are more important to me than my husband or my wife. Shouldn't be. Shouldn't be. That's the reason some parents lose it when the kids grow up, they become adults, and they want to live their own life. That's the reason mother-in-laws get such a bad rap, because mama don't want to turn loose the son. Well, look, you're going to always be his mom. But leave him alone and let him live his life. Let him, if he's married, let him enjoy his own wife. Let him enjoy his own children without mama interfering all the time. The word of God says, let a man leave his father and his mother and be what? Joined to his wife, them being two becoming one flesh. one flesh. Amen. I thank God for my boys. I thank God for my daughter. But I understand they have spouses and they have children. And I love my grandkids. There's one right there. You know, I love my grandkids. Amen. I love my grandkids. But I have one advantage that my children don't have. I can love on them and squeeze on them and hug on them and then give them back. And go to sleep in a quiet house. I hope y'all still love me up there. I love y'all. Pray for your daddy. But God's order is him first, your spouse if you're married, and then your children. And thirdly, and I'm going to have to cut this short, your job. What I say? Oh, thank you. Number four. Your job. Don't put your job before your family. Hey, thank you. I believe I will. Don't put your job before your family. I don't want my children to go to hell because I'm chasing dollars. And I'm not there to be daddy in their lives, which they all are grown now and they're all adults. But I want it to be a part of my children's life. I want it to be part of their life more than they wanted me to be part of their life. I remember trying to teach them how to change a tire. They was not interested at all. I'd try to teach them to work on something so I could spend some time with them. Nah. Wasn't interested. Of course, they found they had to learn. But I want to be a part of their lives. And dads, let me tell you something else. Okay, all daddies, listen to me. Just go ahead and accept the fact that in most cases, mom is going to be more popular than you are. I remember, hey guys, you want to ride? I'm going such and such place. Y'all want to ride with me? Nah, we good. But if mom say I'm going down to the grocery store or whatever, all four of them out the door. Now, I wasn't offended in that. I just got used to the fact they prefer to be with her more than they did me. But that was all right. I know they love me. Yeah. Y'all love me, don't you? Amen. Amen. All right, three thumbs up. That's, I only got three boys. My daughter's gone. I don't know where they went. But three thumbs up. That's 100% that's present. They love me. And that's good enough for me, knowing my children love me. Amen. Hallelujah. But don't you? You don't want to let your job. And let me say this, as a minister and as a pastor, I want y'all to understand something, and this should be the case with every pastor. This ministry, I'm a minister. I'm a called to be a minister. I'm called a pastor. But let me tell you something. This ministry is not more important to me than God is. See, sometimes people can't separate working for God and having a relationship with God. This ministry is not more important to me than God is. It's not even on an equal level with God. This ministry is not more important to me than my wife is. This ministry is not more important to me than my children. It's an honor to serve the Lord in the ministry, but we must make sure that we keep everything in proper order. My wife and I, and I got to close, but we were talking recently as last night, because we were reading some things about many pastors and wives getting divorced. Folks, it's unbelievable. And you have to ask yourself, why? Why? What went wrong? My wife and I should never have to divorce because I'm spending all my time on ministry work, getting burnt out in ministry work, and neglecting her. What testimony is that? I'm a preacher, but my wife and I can't get along together, so we have to go our separate ways. That should never be. Y'all listening to me? Amen. Because I give the ministry more attention than I give my wife. That should never be. Amen. When we keep everything in its proper order, we will be successful. You hear me? I say, when we keep everything in its proper order, keep our priorities in order, you'll be successful. Thank God for a good job, but don't let it replace your family. Amen. I could go on, but I won't. Father, thank you for your word. Father, I pray that